Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. What a selection. The films are Skin, A History of Nudity in the Movies, Dark Circle, and Tesla. Once again, giving me an opening that I will not avail myself of. Hi, David. How are you?
Okay, Joe. How are you doing this week?
Again, will not refuse, absolutely refuse to complain. So.
All right. Well, that's just fine. And I know that you could have made a splendid sentence, perhaps even a story out of these titles, but what the heck? Why don't I just to evaluating these three movies. The first two are documentaries, and the third one is a sort of a biopic, which is to say it's based on real life, although it is certainly not a documentary, and that is the movie Tesla. But let's get to that in a moment. Let's begin with, what a lively topic, Skin, A History of Nudity in the Movies, which is, in fact, a new documentary by Danny Wolf. And it is about exactly what the title says that it's about. We have here a movie which lasts something over 2 hours, and it is all about people with no clothes on in the movies. Now, that doesn't mean that there's nothing but people with no clothes on in this movie, because actually a great deal of this movie, of course, there are a lot of clips from vintage films, but what we have even more than that, I think, is talking heads. We have a whole lot of people. We have various people who are film historians and film critics and film thises and film thats, who are discussing this great topic of nudity in the movies. And this is, of course, something that goes back to the very, very, very earliest days of film, as this movie shows. It really is a very historical kind of a film, and although it brings us more or less up to the present day, it really does go back into the very early days of movies, and in fact there were efforts to get movies censored over issues of showing what was considered too much sexuality or too much skin, way back, you know, around like the late 19th, very early 20th century, and the movie gets into that a bit. And then it sort of brings us through the ages and touches on some of the high points along the way. And so there are some very famous movies that are discussed in some cases, you know, with a fair amount of this movie is, I have to put it this way, skin deep. It rarely gets any sort of real depth about anything. But, it does give a nice historical overview of the topic. Now, some of the people who are in the film and some of the issues that are discussed in movies that are discussed, I mean, here's a couple of famous ones. Malcolm McDowell, for example, appears as a talking head several times in the movie. And he has made some movies which involve nudity, his nudity and or the nudity of others. The movie If, directed many years ago by Lindsay Anderson, and very famously, A Clockwork Orange, little bits of a rape scene from that movie are shown. That was a very major film by Stanley Kubrick, and I'll just throw in here, I think it's one of Kubrick's worst movies, but anyway, it's in here, and it certainly does have nudity. And then a very, very famous movie, Caligula, which was introduced, that is when it started to be made, as sort of an art film. But it turned out to basically be a pornographic movie, and we have a fair amount of discussion of that, and that's another movie in which Malcolm McDowell appeared, in which he was not all that happy with the way that movie came out. We have other famous movies that are discussed along the way, and by the way, some movies that are not famous. Midnight Cowboy, for example, which was an X-rated movie and that's back when there were X ratings. Now we have the NC-17 has replaced the X as an official rating, and that actually won the Oscar for Best Picture of 1970. So, I think actually they won the Oscar in 1970. So Midnight Cowboy is in here, even though nudity is not the big thing in that. It had its X rating for various reasons. There is some nudity in it. And another very famous movie, Titanic. And there's an interesting discussion about how the filmmakers were not sure that they really wanted to have any nudity by Kate Winslet in the movie when she's having her portrait painted on the board the Titanic. And then they decided, oh, yeah, let's go for it. Let's do it. And, of course, that movie became hugely famous and almost legendary in its popularity, even though, or perhaps because it had that nudity in it, or partly because. So anyway, all of these things are discussed in the film over the years. And we have also, by the way, just I've mentioned these sort of high-class movies like Clockwork Orange and Titanic. Of course, there's discussion of sort of low-grade movies, too. Women in prison movies, for example, things like that. So the movie covers a good range of things. I will repeat that it is, in fact, as a documentary, it never gets below the surface of the skin that is its subject. It really is basically sort of a breezy run-through history, but it's an engaging history. I have to say, for a movie that is full of nudity, along with Talking Heads, I found it very unerotic. There's really not a whole lot in the movie that I found particularly sexy, but we'll all have different responses to that, I suppose. And if you're interested in film history, and if you're interested in nudity history, then Skin, A History of Nudity in the Movies, is something that you won't want to miss. And like all of today's movies I'm talking about, it is streaming and very widely available on the internet. Even though movie theaters are starting to reopen, these movies are definitely streaming. So now the next film I want to talk about briefly is called Dark Circle, and it's a movie that actually comes from way back in 1982, and it's been reissued this year. Again, it is streaming very, very widely. It was made by Chris Beaver, Judy Irving, and Ruth Landy, and it is a movie about atomic power. This year, 2020, marks the 75th anniversary of what remains, fortunately, the only use of nuclear weapons in wartime. And that, of course, was when the United States dropped atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan in an effort to bring World War II to a speedy end. This remains a hugely controversial decision to drop these bombs, and there are a lot of people who feel, and although I'm not a professional historian, I tend to agree with these people, that this was absolutely unnecessary, that the war was working its way, World War II was working its way toward an end anyway, that the Japanese were very, very eager to surrender and were just waiting for exactly the right sort of moment, and that they would have done it soon. But America went ahead and dropped these two bombs. It did not drop them on places that would have just served to show the enemy that these weapons exist. They could have, for example, been dropped on uninhabited islands in the ocean or something like that. They were dropped on cities. They were not dropped on cities with a whole lot of military activity going on them. They were primarily civilian populations. So a very, very, very dubious decisions morally to drop these bombs. However, they were dropped, and the war did come to an end after that. At least that did happen. And then we, however, entered what's often called the atomic age, when there was a huge push to nuclearize the power grid, the power industry in America. And there were all of these over-the-top promises made about how, I can remember this when I was a kid back in the 50s, that the radioactivity contained in one little spoonful of uranium was going to power all of the cities in the world for 100 years. There were claims made sort of along that sort of line. And that led to the growth of the nuclear industry and power plants and things like that. So that is what Dark Circle is about. And what Dark Circle is about, and again, this movie was made back in 1982, so it doesn't deal with the way things are right now, but it is a very, very interesting historical look. And it comes from a time when the sort of promises I was just referring to about how atomic energy was going to make our lives so much easier and more labor-free and all of that, when this movie comes from a time when those claims were a lot closer historically than they are now. And it's very, very interesting to remember that. Now, again, this movie, Dark Circle, as you can sort of tell from the title, deals very much with the dangers. And it deals, for example, with people who live near areas where there was nuclear testing and the terrible things that happened to a lot of people. There used to be nuclear tests, right out in the atmosphere, and the fallout and the other bad stuff would just drift around and give people cancer and that kind of thing. And this movie very much deals with that. And it deals with the way that the industry, with profits on its mind, and the military, with winning and having a leg up over the enemy on its mind, were not alert to a lot of these dangers, not nearly as alert as they should have been. And we are, of course, still living with consequences of that to this day. So Dark Circle, I got to repeat once again, it comes from the early 1980s. It is not a current movie, but it's a really interesting look back at a lot of these issues. And one of the things that you find is that not everything has changed since 1982. There is still a lot of obliviousness going on, in my opinion, about a lot of the dangers posed by nuclear energy. And also, there is still a policy of first use, in effect, when it comes to nuclear weapons. The United States and many other countries still reserve their right to make first use of nuclear weapons if they were to deem it necessary. And that is really scary. There's a lot of people pointing out in this day and age that nuclear accidents could still happen, that there's still the possibility of nuclear holocaust that could wipe out civilization. And this movie reminds us that this is not a new situation, but we need to be reminded, I think, that it's still an ongoing situation. So Dark Circle is very much worth looking at if you're interested in 20th century history and if you're interested in the state of the nuclear attitudes today. And our last film I want to talk about is Tesla, which is a movie written and directed by Michael Almereyda, a very, very inventive filmmaker, and it stars Ethan Hawke as, yes, Nikola Tesla, the very, very famous inventor. And this is a very, very much a biopic about Tesla, and it deals with, among other things, his very complicated relationship with Thomas Alva Edison, who is played in the movie by Kyle MacLachlan. Tesla and Edison had a very prickly relationship with each other. There were all kinds of rivalries going on. For one thing, the great rivalry between alternating current and direct current, that's very much in the movie, and the idea of which one is better and which one is more dangerous and all of that. But it's also about the personal rivalry between these guys. Another person who enters into the movie very much is Westinghouse, another huge mogul of the time who is very closely connected with Tesla's activities. So that is what the movie deals with. And the most important thing to know about the movie Tesla is that it is a very quirky kind of a movie in all kinds of ways. Now, Michael Almereyda, who wrote and directed the film, is known for making quirky movies. He has a quirky approach to cinema, and very often a very interesting it keeps you on your toes watching his movies, generally speaking. He's made movies like Experimenter, which is quite a wonderful movie that he made recently, and in earlier years, Marjorie Prime and Cymbeline. So he's a very interesting filmmaker. And in Tesla, he allows his quirkiness to go sort of unchained, so that we have things, for example, like all of a sudden, and I sort of had to blink and do a double take, did one of those characters in this movie, which takes place like many, many, many decades ago, just pull out an iPhone? Start sort of surfing and looking for messages? Yep, that's what happened. So that's the sort of thing that happens in this movie. We have scenes where the characters are all roller skating. Okay, that's just fine historically speaking. But we also have scenes where characters are doing things like checking their messages on their iPhone. So you have to be ready for that in this movie. It's a film that really wants to kind of bring the Tesla story into the present day by showing, and not just telling, but showing the ways in which the sort of technologies that Tesla was fascinated by have reverberations that go on very much into today's world. Now, one of the things I found very refreshing about Tesla is that Ethan Hawke very often plays characters who are glamorous or hip. He does not play Tesla as being glamorous or hip. Very, very smart, yes, but he's basically a real square who really thinks a great deal about his theories and is very concerned about them. And Ethan Hawke does a very, very nice job of putting this across in a very straightforward manner. Another thing that I found really interesting about the movie, because Tesla, of course, has today a rather occult following, and there are people who feel he was way ahead of his time and that he never received all of the accolades that were his due. And what this movie shows is that he kind of went crazy, and his theories really got out of hand. And he was believing in things like carrying messages instantaneously around the globe and things like that. And I thought I found that quite refreshing. This is not a whitewashed view of Tesla. It's a view of Tesla with all of his faults and crazinesses very much in evidence. And as the movie goes on, that becomes more and more evident. So again, the movie is largely of interest for its acting. Ethan Hawke is really excellent as Tesla. And Kyle MacLachlan, who can be sort of a dull actor here, is, I think, very, very, very good as Thomas Edison. There's a terrific supporting cast. Yes, there are quite a number of important women in the stories, so that's very much there, too. Above all, I think, though, that it just gives a very balanced view of Tesla in this way, which is, again, quirky to a fault, but it does keep you on your toes as you watch it. Some people find it kind of confusing as a story, and yes, it kind of is confusing as a story, but that's one of the things that make it sort of fun to watch. So Tesla, streaming out there everywhere, something that I don't think Tesla himself ever quite envisioned, is really worth looking at if you want to look at a fun historical biopic. And so that is my somewhat truth-based story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you, as always, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Skin, A History of Nudity in the Movies, Dark Circle, and Tesla.